Hi. Well, first I just want to pray. So if you guys would bow your heads. Lord, I just thank you and praise you for your presence here in this place today. Father, we just lift up your name, Lord, and glorify you. Father, I pray that the words that I speak today will not be my own, Lord, but they will be your words. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity, and I just pray for lives to be transformed today, for your word to penetrate deep into our hearts, Father, and speak to us clearly what you would have for us to receive. I thank you and praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, I just want to thank you guys for allowing me to come today and speak with you. It's just a real privilege and honor to be here at this church, the church that I've grown up in, and I just thank you guys for allowing me to come. Recently, most of you know that I went on a trip to India. I just got back a couple weeks ago. We went over there and we opened up some orphanages, and we also had the opportunity to go to a women's conference and to a youth conference there. And I'm not going to talk about that a lot today, but I did want to share a story from that. And we were at this women's conference one day, and we had some speakers there that were speaking about healing and salvation and different things, a lot of things that those people have never heard before. Some of them have never even heard the name of Jesus. And we were over there, and we were praying for this one lady at the end of the service, this thing's weird. And so we were, you know, there's like five or six of us praying for her, and I went over to her, and you know, I didn't know what we were praying for. We didn't speak the language, so there's a lot of times where we were just completely having to rely on the Holy Spirit to tell us, you know, what is this that we're praying for, and we're praying for this lady and praying for this lady, and finally I was like, what are we praying for? You know, like, I didn't know, because the lady said, told a translator who told us that she had pain all in her body, and that the pain kept moving around. And immediately I was like, well, that's demonic, you know, like that's a demon in her, and this pain keeps moving around, and we're sitting here praying and praying, and finally I just got really, really angry. I just got really mad, and I just rebuked the devil, told him he had to leave in the name of Jesus, and that he had to go, and that he couldn't come back, and he did. He did. He left, and the lady was healed. And it's something that I've learned all, like, for the past few years, but it's something that I just didn't really see the authority and the power behind until I was there, and I actually saw the power of God show up, and with one word, the devil left. And it was amazing experience, and the whole time, the Lord just kept speaking to me that verse in Ephesians 6:12, which is interesting that that's exactly the verse that you said this morning, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And that verse was really what the Lord was speaking to me the whole time we were there, because I realized we were there to fight the spiritual battle for these people who have never heard the name of Jesus, that they don't know who he is at all. But when they saw the power of God show up, they instantly were changed, and they instantly gave their life to the Lord. And it was amazing. And since I've been back, God's just really been doing a lot of work in my heart and showing me a lot of things about that authority that we have. And so I thought it was interesting that you were saying that stuff this morning, that there's been a lot of attacks and a lot of things going on in the congregation, because obviously the Lord wants to say something today. So if you guys want to turn your Bibles to Luke 10:19. And I'm actually going to be reading a little bit from the King James Version and then some from the NIV Version today. So Luke 10:19. And this is the King James Version, and it says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." And the word power here in this verse, it's used twice. And the first time it's used, it actually is the word exousia, And the second time that it's used is the word dunamis in the Greek. And the word exousia actually means authority. The word dunamis is like dynamite power, like explosive power. And so really, if you read the verse with these words, it says, "Behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." And this authority that that we have is actually delegated power. And from delegated power is actually something that is just given to us. It's nothing we did to earn it. It's just something that the Lord gives to us. And delegated power, basically, what I like to think of it is like a policeman. Okay, so a policeman standing out on an intersection in the middle of traffic and a huge semi-truck is coming towards him. All he has to do is hold up his hand like this, and the semi-truck stops. And why is that? Because he has authority, right? And he has authority and the power that's been given to him as a policeman. All he has to do is this. Now, the semi-truck could keep going and just totally take him out, but it doesn't, because he has the authority with that one thing for it to stop. And that's the same with God. It's the same way with us. He's given us this power, and all we have to do is hold up our hand and say stop, and the devil has to go. He has to recognize that authority. Ephesians 6:10, you don't need to turn there, but it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power." It's His mighty power. It's His power that allows us to be strong and to stand up to the devil. Amen? All right, let's turn to 1 Peter 5, 8. 1 Peter 5, 8. And this is the NIV version. It says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." So this tells us a couple of different things. Verse 9 tells us to resist him and stand firm. So if it tells us to resist him, then that means that we can resist him, that we have the power to resist him, that we have the power to stand firm. And I thought it was interesting that the enemy is referred to as a lion. So if the enemy is like a lion, we're not going to go up to the lion and speak gently and say, "Please don't hurt me." You know, I mean, it's a lion. So sometimes we have to get fierce, and we have to speak with authority, and we have to resist him. Just kind of like another example that I like to use is like if you're talking to your kids sometimes and you've asked them 100 times to do something and you've asked them over and over and over, and finally you just have to get some authority behind it and say, "No, like you need to do this now." And sometimes it's just like that with the enemy. Sometimes we just have to get mad and really stand up for the rights that we've been given. Let's talk about when we receive this authority. If you guys want to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And praise God for that. You know, we've been blessed with every single spiritual blessing in Christ, which includes prosperity. It includes divine health. It includes this authority that we've been given. And so basically what this is saying is that when we receive Christ as our Savior, we also inherited the name of Jesus. And we can use it. We can use the name of Jesus because we inherited it the day that we received Christ. If you go on down a little further, Ephesians 1:19, it says, 19 and 20, it says, "And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms." Well, that's pretty great power for Christ to be raised from the dead. And that's the same power that lives within us. So when we speak to things, we're speaking with that exact same power and that exact same authority that it took to raise Christ from the dead out of the grave. That's pretty powerful. You know, that's actually the mightiest work that God has ever done, was to raise Christ from the dead. And that is the same power that we received when we received Christ. And the sad part is that most Christians actually don't know that they have this authority. Hosea 4:6, you don't need to turn there, it says, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." And it's true. How do we get that knowledge? And it's not head knowledge, it's knowledge in our heart, in our spirit. And we get that knowledge by feeding on the Word of God, by hearing the Word of God, by meditating on the Word of God, by knowing the Word of God, right? John 8:31, you don't need to turn there, but it says, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Well, what are his teachings? Does anybody know? Anyone? It's the Word of God, right? His teachings are the Word. And the Word, well, what does it say in this verse? It says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So what sets you free? The truth of the Word of God. That's how we get free of the things that the enemy brings against us. It's the truth of the Word of God. And this is not going to happen just by reading it once, or seeing it once, or hearing it once. It's something that we have to constantly feed ourselves with and meditate and meditate and meditate on. I'm just going to read this one. Matthew 28:18, it says, "Therefore all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This is Jesus speaking. It says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." So basically Jesus is saying, I have all the power in heaven and on earth. And it's all been given to me. And then he says, therefore, go. And when he tells us to go and make disciples, he actually transferred all that power that he had into us and onto us so that we could go out and make disciples just the same way he made disciples. He transferred it to us. So he transferred that authority and that power, which is the same thing, to us. Ephesians 1:20, you guys can just look down there. It says, it says, "which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come." So where did this say that we are seated? At his right hand, right? We're seated at his right hand in the heavenly realms. So we are seated right beside God with Christ in heaven. And this place is actually a place of complete authority. It's a place that's at the center, it has the center of the power of the entire universe. And that is where we sit. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? Yeah. And I just thought it was really cool that we sang that song today too, "Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne," because it was just so relevant to this message today, and obviously, just to remember that that is where we sit. We sit with Christ in the heavenlies. Ephesians 2:6 says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." And which is the same thing that I've been saying, that it says, in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. So when he raised us up, we are the body. So he raised the body up at the same time that he raised Christ up. So the head and the body were both raised together. And we need each other, right? We need the head and Christ needs us, the body. In Romans 5:17, it says, "For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" And this, I love this verse because it tells us that we are to reign as kings in life now. Not when we get to heaven, not later in life, like right now, every day in our lives, we are to reign in life. John 14:12 says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And basically this is saying, you know, who will do these works? You know, who will do these greater works? It says, anyone who has faith in me. So all you have to do, the only requirement to do greater works than what Jesus did when he walked the earth, is to believe in him. That's pretty amazing. You know, all of us have that same authority, that same power that he's given us. But all we have to do is believe and stand on the word of God, and he will do what he has said. Amen. So we need to speak and we need to pray from this place, from this perspective, that Jesus has already defeated the enemy, and that we can reign over him. And Satan has no rights. He has absolutely no rights in our life. Most Christians today have more faith in Satan's authority than in God's authority. You know, people think that the devil is running everything down here on earth, but that's not true. Who is running everything down here on earth? Does anybody know? We are, actually. We are supposed to be running everything here on earth, not God, because he's already given us the authority. And so we were given this authority to rule here. God said, have dominion on the earth and subdue it. He gave us the earth, and he gave it to us to subdue it and to rule it. That's why it says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are of the kingdom, but we are in this world to rule it. And we are called to live in a higher place in the kingdom. Amen? And we should see that from a higher perspective, because we live in the kingdom. We live up here where God is seated at the right hand. So we should be looking down, seeing things from a different perspective. And God's perspective is that Satan has no rights here on earth at all. Luke 10:19. If you guys want to turn there. This is similar to the one I already read. It says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. So nothing can harm us unless we let it, right? Unless we let it. And how do we let the enemy come against us? How do we let him hurt us? Well, it is the words of our mouth. The words of our mouth is how we allow the enemy to come in, and how we allow the enemy to have any sort of authority at all is by the words of our mouth. It says the power of life and death is in the tongue. Amen? So if we're struggling, you know, with a cold, I'll take that for example, and, you know, we're saying, well, I believe that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. I'm standing on that. I'm standing on the word, believing that I'm healed. And then a couple hours later, your friend calls you on the phone and says, hey, how are you feeling? And you say, well, I just feel terrible. My nose has been running all day. I've used a whole box of Kleenex. And what are you doing? You're actually speaking unbelief. You're actually speaking doubt back into that situation that you've already taken authority over. Even though it might be true, you might be feeling bad, and it most likely is true. But when you give those feelings power, and how do you give them power? By talking about them. When you give them power, then you negate the word of God that you have already spoken over your situation. So the best thing to do is just not talk about it, not talk about the symptoms, not talk about how you actually feel, not talk about how what you're actually seeing in the natural, but to keep speaking the word over and over and over and over and over, because that's what gives God the power to act on his word. Amen? Yeah, amen. One example of this week, my mother actually was having an issue with her throat this week, and this thing kept kind of trying to come back in her throat and bother her and bother her and bother her. And we realized, well, this is obviously an attack from the enemy. He keeps bringing this thing back. And so my father took authority over it, and I took authority over it, and my mother took authority over it. And after we did that, she just kept confessing the word, confessing the word, confessing the word all day, all day, all day, all day. and not looking at it, not going by what she was seeing, not going by how she was feeling. And the next day, the sore in her throat was gone. It went away. And why did that work? Because she was speaking the word. She was speaking the truth. She was speaking life. She wasn't talking about how it hurt. She wasn't talking about how it felt. She wasn't talking about how she saw it. So the power was in her tongue. It was in what she was saying to it. Amen. Okay. Matthew 28:18. Again, I'll read this. It says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." And so, like we said before, when Jesus rose from the dead, he transferred that power to us, which is the church, right? So all the authority that can be exercised on this earth actually has to be done through the church. We are the ones that are supposed to take the authority over the earth and make things happen here on earth. How many times in our lives have we prayed for someone to be saved, saying, "God, please save so-and-so." I think we all probably know someone who is not saved. And how many times have we said, "God, you know, please save this person." And actually, that is not scriptural. God has already done everything that he's going to do about salvation, right? He sent his son, Jesus, to die for our sins, and we have salvation through Jesus. So that's all God's ever going to do. It's really unscriptural to actually pray, "God, save this person." So how should we pray? We should pray, "In the name of Jesus, I break the power of the devil and I claim salvation." Right? We need to claim salvation over this person, over these people, because God's word says that he will bring salvation unto all men. Amen? So sometimes we just have to get up there and we have to demand our rights. A good example of this is Peter at the gate called Beautiful. He demanded that man at the gate called Beautiful be healed. He said, "Walk." He demanded that man walk. And he wasn't demanding God, but he was demanding the devil. He was telling him that you have no rights here. He's going to walk. And he did. John 16:23, you don't need to turn there, it says, "In that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." And the word "ask" here actually means demand. So when you demand something in Jesus' name, that's all you have to do, and he will give it to you. You don't have to stand there all day long rebuking the devil. He'll leave when you tell him to, because you have that authority. And, you know, I think the one thing that happens is that we get discouraged when we don't see things happen right away. Right? I mean, it's easy. It's easy once you speak it and you know the authority you have, and then you get discouraged. But that's why we base our faith on the Word of God, right? Not on what we see and not on what we feel. You know, and my testimony is actually a huge example of this, you know. For those of you who don't know me, I lived a homosexual lifestyle for 12 years and was delivered from it. And I know that I would not be standing here today speaking this word to you if it wasn't for the people who stood on the word of God for me. Amen. That stood on that word, that didn't go by what they were seeing in my life. They didn't go by what they felt. And especially for my parents and for my grandparents. You know, they stood on that word regardless. They spoke my purpose and my destiny. They spoke about the things that the Lord says of me instead of what they were actually seeing. And that is what changed my life, the words that they spoke and the authority that backed those words. And that's why it's so important that we're only moved by what we believe. I believe that consistency is the key to this. You know, it's really easy to get discouraged. It's really easy to give up. It would have been very easy for my family to give up on me after 12 years. That is a long time. It would be easy for Elaine to give up after 20 years. But she doesn't. You know, we're only moved by what we believe. And being consistent in standing and speaking the word and believing the word, that is what is going to give us that victory in Jesus. And that's why I'm here. Amen. So far, we've learned that we're seated at the right hand of God. that all authority has been given, that was given to Christ, actually belongs to us, which is the body, the church, and that Christ needs us, the body, to carry out his work here on the earth. So how do we carry it out? Well, we carry it out by enforcing his victory. And how do we enforce victory here on earth? One example that I like to think of is like if someone came and gave you a car, a brand new car, and they pulled it up in your driveway and they gave you the keys to the car and they said, here you go, here's your brand new car. Here's the keys, have a great time, it's all yours, it's paid for. And you look at the car and you're like, wow, this is amazing, this car is great, and you look at it and you get inside of it sometimes, but you never actually take the keys and you never put them in the ignition and turn it on and drive it. That's kind of how some believers are with that authority that we've been given. If we never actually take that authority that we've been given and we don't put it in the ignition and use it, even though we know we have it, it's not going to work, right? Yeah. Okay, let's turn to Mark 16. Verse 16, and we're going to go through verse 18. Okay, Jesus says, this is the Great Commission. He says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Amen. And so what is the first sign? The first sign that Jesus says will happen, it says, in my name, they will drive out demons. The first thing that we can do to exercise this authority is that we can actually drive out demons out of people's lives. So that's the first thing we can do. Second is Colossians. You don't have to turn here. Colossians 1:13 says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So we've been delivered from darkness into the kingdom, right? So the second thing that we can do is that we can speak to darkness. We can speak to any darkness in the earth and we can tell it what to do, right? All right, so who exactly do we have authority over on the earth? Besides Satan in our own life. We have it over ourselves, right? We have authority over ourselves. What else? Our family, right? Do we have authority over others? Over other people? Like, no, we actually don't. Yeah, so like, I don't have authority. I kind of like to compare it to like their money. You know, I don't have authority over Brad's money. I can't tell him what to do with his money, how to distribute it, how to pay for things. I can't tell him what to do. We don't have authority over other people's lives. We can cast the devil out, but we don't have that authority to keep him gone. In James 4:7, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You are the subject, therefore you have to take the authority over yourself. And it says, oh, he will flee from you. Flee actually means to run from in terror. So when the enemy sees you, what does he see? He sees Jesus, and that's why they run. The demons run in terror because all they see is Jesus. They don't see you, they see Jesus. We also have authority over the earth. Ephesians, let's turn there back to Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, 22. Ephesians 1:22 says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So it says, and God placed all things under his feet. Well, the feet are actually a part of the body, right? So that's part of us. We're the feet of, of the gospel, hands and feet of the gospel. So therefore, all those things have also been placed under us. And remember that we do reign as kings on earth. So that means that every circumstance, poverty, sickness, disease, and everything that could ever hinder us has been taken care of. And that we can reign and we can speak those things out and walk in the fullness that Christ has allowed us to have through that authority. Matthew 18:18 says, "I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So basically that's saying that heaven will back you up. So whatever you say, heaven will back you up. It's backing up your words because of the authority that you've been giving and because they're the words of God. Most of the time we're waiting on God to do something. We're waiting on Him to move, but He's actually waiting on us. He's waiting on us, and He's not going to do anything until we act and until we speak and until we take what is already ours. Amen? Yeah. Okay, let's turn. Last verse is Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10. And the awesome part about this is that God has actually given us weapons to fight with. We're not just left to do it all by ourselves. He gives us an armor to put on. And we're going to read this, Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. And it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Amen. So He gives us these weapons to fight with. And we're going to talk about the different spiritual truths that are behind each one of these weapons, because these weapons, when we get up, when we place this armor on every day, then we're ready. We're ready for whatever the enemy brings our way, because he's going to come, right? That's how the enemy works. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We know he's going to come back. That's just how he is. He thinks he can get us, and he wants us to give up. And especially after we realize our authority, like most of us know in here, we already know this authority, and so he's going to try to steal it from us. And how does he try? By testing us, right? By giving us trials, by testing us, by coming against us and telling us things, and because he wants us to give up. He wants us to say, well, I've read this, I've done this, I've stood on this, but it's not working. He wants us to say, it's not working. We give up. But once he realizes that you get this thing called authority, and that he realizes that you're speaking the truth of the Word of God, he's going to try even harder. That's the hard part. So that's why we have to be ready, right? We have to be ready with this armor on. So the first thing that he talks about, that we talk about in the scripture from Ephesians, that says the belt of truth. And the belt of truth actually represents a clear understanding of God's Word. And so a clear understanding of God's Word, basically, the belt of truth is in the middle, it's at the center, and it holds the rest of the armor in place. And I think that it's interesting that it's at the core, too. I'm a coach, and so I do a lot of training athletes, and the most important part of their body that can be strong is actually their core. They have to do a lot of core strength, and they can get through gymnasts especially, which is what I work with gymnasts. They can get through a lot of skills if their core is strong. Even if their arms or their legs aren't as strong, if their core is strong, they can do a lot more things. And so I like to think of the belt of truth as your core being super strong. And it holds the rest of your armor in place. The breastplate of righteousness is next. And the breastplate of righteousness represents Jesus as our righteousness, which is we put Jesus on first when we get ready. We put him on first, our breastplate. And it also represents obedience to the Word of God. And that is a weapon that we can use against the enemy, is by being obedient to his word. Amen. And the next thing is our feet are ready with the gospel of peace, which is proclaiming the word of God. If we go around and we're confessing doubt and unbelief, that's not really going to protect us very much, right? We have to go around, we're proclaiming the word of God. And that doesn't mean you have to, you know, go up and quote scripture to everybody you know, but I mean, obviously, you know, we know when the time is right for us to speak life into someone or truth into a situation. So proclaiming the word of God. The next thing is the shield of faith. The shield of faith is a covering. It's a covering for the entire body of Christ. And it is the blood of Jesus. There's safety in the blood of Jesus, and there's power in the blood of Jesus. And no, the enemy cannot penetrate through that shield of faith. And that makes me feel really good that I have that shield. The helmet of salvation is the hope of our salvation. It protects our head, which is our mind. It protects our mind from turning from the truth of his word. And so we put the helmet of salvation on. And the last one is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And if you notice that the other parts of the armor are defensive weapons, but the sword, sorry, the other parts are defensive, but the sword or the word of God is actually an offensive weapon. It's the only offensive weapon that we're given. So obviously, if the sword of the Spirit represents the word of God, then that's all we need in offense to the enemy. We might need all these other things to defend us, but all we need to fight him off is the word of God. Amen. And it's an active weapon, and we know that. The Word of God tells us that it's an active weapon. It divides between right and wrong. It's the discerner of the intents of the heart. And so we know that that there's power there with that weapon. So basically, we need to start using the Word. We need to start using it, and we need to start using it more, I think. More than we have been. We need to start really believing in the power that is backing that word up and being ready for this battle, because obviously the enemy is coming, and he's been coming, but the awesome part is that we've already defeated him. Amen? We've already defeated him, and that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So we can walk through this earth knowing that we've been given everything that we need. He's given us every weapon, every tool that we need to come against the enemy. 2 Peter 1:3, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So he's given us everything that we could possibly need. Amen. One thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit at the end here is one of the biggest ways that the enemy attacks us. And this is something that I think we've all probably experienced, and he attacks, the biggest way that he can attack us is our minds, is by coming into our mind and bringing fear and doubt and unbelief. And it's happened to every single one of us, I'm sure. But the good part is that we have a way to protect that. And how can we protect that, our minds, from the fear and the doubt and the unbelief that Satan tries to bring against us? Does anybody know? Yes. The Word of God and renewing our mind. Brad said, renewing our mind. You have to constantly renew your mind if you want your mind to be protected, right? And how do we renew our mind? We renew our mind by hearing the Word of God, because we know faith comes by what? Hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. It comes by hearing the Word of God. I know that for me personally, if I had not when I started to go to church, if I hadn't have constantly been in church, hearing the word, hearing the word, hearing the word, hearing the word, I would definitely not be where I am at right now. Because I had to hear it. I had to hear it over and over and over. Even if it was the same message 25 times, it doesn't matter. It's the Word of God. And that's how our faith is built, is by hearing it over and over. That's how our mind is renewed, by hearing it over and over and reading the Word, reading it and meditating on it, right? Just like athletes, you know, with the Olympics are getting ready to start, those athletes have practiced that same skill, whatever it is that they're going to do, that same race of swimming over and over and over thousands of times, so that when it comes to that one moment of truth for them in the Olympics, then they can perform it with perfection. And that's how we need to view our renewing our minds, is we need to view it as in, this is making us ready for whatever the enemy is going to bring down here, down the line, that we don't even see, we don't even know about. That is why we're renewing our minds, so that when we get to that point, all we have to do is recognize it, speak to it, and it's gone, right? And then, and also by renewing our mind, we are able to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And which is very important, that those thoughts, then they're going to come, the thoughts that the enemy tries to tell you, oh, you're not good enough, or you don't have any right to say that or to speak that or to think that way, when really you do. And you have to make it obedient to the Word of God, because that's where the truth lies. So only be moved by what you believe. Stand on the Word. Don't be moved by what you see or by what you feel. And remember that we are supposed to reign on earth now. The church has been given the authority to reign and rule on the earth. And it's up to us. It's not up to God. He's already given us the power, and it's up to us to rule and reign on the earth. And the more we're able to stand on what we believe, then we'll be able to see the kingdom come to earth. And that is God's desire. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he wants us to bring the kingdom to earth. And we see it. I saw it in India. I saw glimpses of it when I was there, you know. I saw people healed miraculously. I saw a blind boy get his sight back. So we were bringing heaven to earth because we were standing on what we believe, on the truth, and not on what we were seeing. Amen? Amen. Amen.